Greetings. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, our readings this week are from the books of Numbers, Psalms, Mark, and Acts. It's the beginning of our first week of Lent, and it's a wonderful time as we begin Lent to remember another time, another place. Our readings today largely include a time of Mount Sinai, a time when the people of God had reached a point where the blessings of Abraham and the promises to Abraham were being realized and their numbers had grown. And that promise that they would be numbered as many as the sands of the seashore is evidenced by the name of the book, the Numbers. And today, as we remember those, we remember another time. Several thousand years ago, the people are God's people trying to live faithfully, living out that promise, looking forward to that time when they would be at liberty in their own land and enjoying the fruit of their labor in relationship and in communion with God and each other. And as we tune into the story, we're reminded that their time was not a whole lot different than our time, that they were plagued with sin. They were plagued with uncleanliness and the way people lived their lives. They had among them what we sometimes call undesirables who didn't need to be in the same camp as the Holy God and where the people of the Holy God were. So the remedy was to separate or segregate the unclean for the clean and put them outside the camp. And this in some way was believed to allow God, the Holy God, to move about with clean people in a clean camp. It was a tough job because impurity ran deep. And in the midst of that impurity, it was widespread, spread between the priest or the clergy and even among the lay people. And the impurity was multifaceted. There were people who just did people wrong. There were others who lived lives that were in violation of the codes of cleanliness and the moral codes set forth by God centuries before. There were others who had emotional issues and spiritual issues, such as jealousy and suspicion of their neighbors. And God provides Moses a remedy for that after he and Moses consulted for an extended period of time. And the remedy for that was that we would repent of our sins, confess our sins, make retribution for the damages that we had done, and complete a cleansing ritual, a purging of our faults and errors and thoughts and efforts, and recommit to live as God's people. In the midst of all that, the priesthood emerges, and in the latter part of the sixth chapter, the Nazarite priesthood begins to emerge specifically in addition to the lineage of Aaron. The Nazarites were those who had chosen to be priests, those who went through a commitment and a ritual to become the priest, and a time of sacrifice and a time of devotion to trying to be diligent, trying to live at a very deep level of commitment, a very tough discipline life that resulted in them trying to encourage each other, support each other, and hold each other accountable to walk as those who were in relationship with the Holy God. For me, it was a painful ascent to holiness, or an effort at a painful ascent to holiness. But I think the blessing that I see, even in today's world, is there came some extraordinary servants out of the practice of the Nazarites. As Moses went on, and as the priesthood grew, and as the diligence of the people continued to try to return and stay in communion with God, offerings and sacrifices were implemented to help people remember who they were and what the expectations of a holy God were for them. As we continue in the book of Numbers, we find that at the Passover at Sinai, the people are reminded in a powerful way that they are the people of God, that they have been chosen for special relationship, and they began a journey into the wilderness, following a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, into a future that is unknown, but confident are the people that it is known in their relationship with God. So they set out, pursuing the blessings of God for God's people. It's not long. In the absence of hot showers and microwaves, the people began to grumble. They challenged that leadership is not doing what leadership needs to do, and the leadership of Moses is met by an intervention and a rebellion of the people, and God responds by an intervention that he intends to do. But Moses prays to God, and God tells Moses, I will give you another chance, and I'll give the people a chance. But we need to focus on what those chances were built on. They were built on a cycle of continual repentance, continual ritual or means of grace and means of worship. And this cycle of repentance and ritual and reestablishment of our relationship with God becomes the means for the people of God back to a healthy communion with God and with each other. Their destination is a land flowing with milk and honey. They find out, though, after spies are sent into that land, that the people in that land are strong. The people in that land sort of like their land, and they like to be in control of their land. And the spies come back with a report of giants in the land and fortified cities. The response among the people is mixed. There are those who say, oh man, there's nothing we can do about those giants in the land. And there are others who say, let's go, because God goes with us and God goes before us, and I'll lead the way. So the people begin to rebel who don't want to go. God gets upset. And again, Moses intervenes and God forgives and restores the people. And laws and sacrifices are established. And through a very interesting selection process involving staffs, and one of the staffs particularly not only budded but bore fruit, Levi is chosen to lead a priesthood. And that priesthood has a certain role with the people of God. That role is to pray for the people, to discern the will of God among the people of God, to teach the ways of God, and to lead the people of God by example and by faith into relationship with God, but always sensitive to the truth of God in the midst of God's people. As we fast forward it from that time to another time at a later date, just after the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, names like Mark and Paul appear. As we read those accounts of Mark and Paul, we read also of an amazing encounter of broken people in a broken world. And we find Mark and Paul picking up where Jesus left off by calling disciples, teaching those disciples, sending those disciples forth to transform the world for Jesus Christ. And through amazing works of faith, we see them performing miracles and sowing the seeds of faith that people long after them will come and gather and see to fruition. And all the time, those great patriarchs of the faith reminding God's people in their time that God's reign not only will come, God's reign has come and been witnessed by the faithful in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. The seeds of deliverance have been planted. Oh, there'll be some ups and downs. Sometimes things will move slow. Sometimes things will move fast. But this one thing is sure. The kingdom of God is coming. Mercy, justice, and love will rule the world, and we will live as brothers and sisters in Christ. As we fast forward to us today, I find myself still a broken person, living in a broken world, and every week as people come into my office, I'm reminded that we are broken, that there are issues of anxiety and pain and suffering and grief and sin prevalent among God's people today. And the remedy is the same as then: repent, make retribution, and recommit to living out our faithfulness in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. The good news of this Lenten season is it's still the same God. It's still the abundant, amazing grace that enables and empowers us to live as the people of God in today's world, no matter what. How do we do that? Tough job. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you have a great, wonderful, happy, and fruitful journey. Amen.